Saturday with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.
Hello again. We're going to turn our attention now to the West Bank, where levels of aggression by Israeli settlers against Palestinians have been escalating, according to human rights defenders and UN agencies. Listeners may have seen the recent BBC documentary by Louis Theroux. It was called The Settlers, and it shed some light on what daily life is like for those living in the West Bank, specifically in the divided city of Hebron. One of the Palestinians who took part in the programme is Issa Amro. He's a peaceful activist who, for many years, has been campaigning for an end to the illegal occupation by Israel, the expansion of illegal Jewish settlements in the occupied territories, and who's been documenting crimes against himself and others. Issa says he's been the subject to attack on several occasions by the Israeli military and settlers over the years, but this has worsened since he appeared in the BBC programme. I've been speaking to Issa Amro. He began by describing for us the current situation in his home city of Hebron.
Hebron city is the microcosm of the Israeli occupation and apartheid. If you want to understand apartheid policies, you come to Hebron City to walk around and see by your eyes the closed Palestinian shops, the closed Palestinian houses, the segregated streets, the separated neighborhoods, the checkpoints and the movement barriers and the restriction on the Palestinian movement, and using the surveillance to monitor the Palestinians and spy at them and test these new technologies on the Palestinians. And the settlers who are living in Hebron illegally, because Hebron is the only city after Jerusalem where the Israeli settlers are living. And because of the presence of the Israeli settlers in Hebron, Hebron is described as a ghost town. So legally, the Israeli settlers are trying to force a military law on us, and civilian law on the Israeli settlers. So we have two sets of law in the same area for different people. We, the Palestinians, under the military law, without any basic rights, without any human rights, without any national rights. We are guilty until we are proving innocent. And the settlers are under the Israeli civilian law, and they have a quality life at the expense of our basic human rights. To document these human rights violations, to expose this reality, to talk about it, the occupation and its with all its systems, and the settlers will see you as an enemy. So I became the enemy of the Israeli government, the Israeli military, and the Israeli settlers. And the Israeli settlers are wild. To document them, it means you put yourself in danger to be shot at, to be beaten, to be arrested, to make your house attacked by the Israeli settlers.
You recently took part in a documentary with the BBC's Louis Theroux, and you did with him what you do with a lot of people. You brought him around Hebron to show what the situation is like on the ground, the areas Palestinians can't go into, which you weren't able to go into yourself, and the attitude of the Israeli military and the settlers in the city. People may have seen that documentary, but the consequences for you of taking part in that documentary afterwards, could you describe what you believe the consequences have been for you?
Yes, it's not only me who's paying high consequences for speaking about our suffering as Palestinians. The majority of Palestinians, they pay a very high price, either arrested, killed, or their property is damaged or vandalized. I am one of many other Palestinians. Louis' film and BBC documentary was one of the examples. It showed part of the daily life. It really, really, we didn't build that. We just were working, a normal walk. You know, Louis was treated as other Palestinians. It was a typical day. Even it's not one of the most violent days to me. It's like that to 1,000 Palestinian families. It's like that to hundreds of thousands of Palestinian people.
Your house where you live is beside settlers, and they have come into your house on many occasions. You recently videoed soldiers at your house as well. And in the course of talking to them, they mentioned you talking to the BBC.
Yes, the soldiers saw the documentary. The Israeli military and the Israeli soldiers, you know, saw the documentary. They didn't like it, and they start saying, "No, it's not like that. It's not the narrative. It's not mainstream." We, the Palestinians, know the truth. We know what's going on. So they don't want any Palestinian to speak. They were not able to prevent Luis. They were not able to block BBC from showing the film. So they want to block us. They want to shut off us and make us feel that we can't reach international media.
And could you say for certain that things have got any more aggressive, any worse for you, or that people, you know, you have been paid more negative attention by settlers or the army for taking part in that documentary?
Yes, I'm paying high price, and I will pay more, and I'm ready to pay because I want to reach international audience and tell them the truth. I feel that it's my duty to be the voice of the voiceless.
You may be aware that in Ireland at the moment, there is a proposed law called the Occupied Territories Bill, which would ban the sale of goods produced on Israeli settlements in Ireland. It hasn't passed yet. It's been discussed for quite some years. What would you say to people who are discussing it in the Irish Parliament? How quickly would you like to see that passed if you support it?
I support it, and I hope that they do it tomorrow. It's the right time to do it. If it's not now, when? I want to send a message to the Irish people and thank them for their support, for their sympathy, for their solidarity with the Palestinian people. But I hope that the public opinion in Ireland will be transformed to a political support. It's the time to make it costly and to do concrete actions, to concrete laws, to make the occupiers accountable for the occupation and make it costly for them.
And that was Issa Amro, an activist in Hebron, with the Youth Against Settlements organisation, speaking to us earlier. Now, we did put in for a response to the Israeli Defence Forces International Media Office. We looked for responses to the following questions. Can you explain why Palestinians are governed under military law in the occupied territories while Israeli settlers are governed under civil law? Why are Palestinians prevented from moving freely in certain areas of Hebron? How do you respond to public video evidence by non-violent activists in the West Bank, where we see them physically accosted by members of the Israeli Defence Forces? And why was Issa Amro challenged by members of the IDF for his participation in the recent Louis Theroux documentary? We gave them that those questions over 24 hours ago, and at the time of broadcast, we have not got any response. Niall Collins, you heard there from Issa Amro. Enact the Occupied Territories Bill, enacted tomorrow.
A couple of things. I haven't seen the Louis Theroux documentary, but I have been to the West Bank. I've been to Hebron. I've been to Ramallah. I've been right around the region, including the occupied territories, a number of years ago when I was informing myself and researching the whole issue in advance of Senator Francis Black Occupied Territories Bill. I think it's quite clear we have the opportunity now in terms of the recent decision of the International Courts of Justice. There's an opportunity and there's a way now for the Oireachtas to now pass a version of the Occupied Territories Bill, which will be legally sufficient and robust to withstand challenge. I know there's issues in relation to the services parts of it, but at least it would be a very, very powerful statement if we can get the legislation through the Houses of the Oireachtas and onto our statute books. It possibly would be a first in the world, and I think it would be a really, really powerful statement from Ireland, from the people of Ireland, from the Irish government, in terms of standing up to what's going on out there.
Right. Can you maybe map out what the reluctance has been to this point? Because, you know, I appreciate the government's position is that the ICJ's rulings have changed the position of this. But it didn't happen yesterday that illegal settlements expanded on the West Bank, that European Union funded equipment and projects have been destroyed and bulldozed when communities have been displaced. So why hasn't there been a reason to do it before this, and what's the delay been since the election?
Yes, and I've seen that with my own eyes. As I've said to you, I've been there. Look, the issue has been that trade is an EU competence. And for us to bring in our own primary legislation, it has to be sufficiently robust to withstand legal challenge and what's called European infringement. So we had to, we now have the opportunity, in light of the ICJ determinations, the opportunity is now there, we feel, as a government, based on the advice of the Attorney General, to progress this.
Okay.
The matter was always hinging on the advice of the Attorney General of the day to the government of the day. So look, I'm a huge supporter of this. I want to see it progressed. I know there will be criticism around the services parts of it. Goods obviously are different to services. The advice to government is that the opportunity is there now to have a robust piece of legislation that can withstand legal challenge.
Okay.
And have no doubt about it, this will be legally challenged in every available forum, in every available court, when we do get it across the line. And in fairness to the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, and to the Taoiseach, Simon Harris, they've been absolutely out front in relation to this. We in the Fianna Fáil party, we had this in our election manifesto. It's now included in the programme for government that it will be progressed. And that's exactly what we're doing.
Right,
Simon Harris met with Senator Francis Black this week in relation to it. There will be further meetings in relation to that.
Okay.
And the government will produce its own bill.
Just on the issue of legal advice, Lynn Boylan, because supporter of Francis Black's Occupied Territory Bill have had alternative legal advice. On what points of disagreement are there with the government in terms of the legality of this and getting it through, you know, and overcoming those potential obstacles from Europe?
Well, we've also heard from international law experts. We've heard from Dr. Reichler, who took the ICJ case on behalf of the Palestinian people. And we've heard from European law experts at that Delegation for Relations with Palestine, and they couldn't have been any clearer. I asked them the question about the Occupied Territories Bill, and they said that Ireland, as a party to the ICJ, has a moral and a legal obligation to enact the Occupied Territories Bill if the EU fails to act in its own manner. Each member state has its own obligations. They could not have been clearer on that. I really hope that the government are genuine when they're saying they're going to pass this Occupied Territories Bill. I don't believe they are. I think they're just trying to buy time because the pressure has ramped up again. The ICJ makes no distinction between goods and services. So there is no distinction in that ICJ ruling. It covers both. So I really hope that you are genuine, Minister. But we have actually
what are
Senator,
we trying to
Senator
buy time
Francis,
for, Lynn?
I didn't interrupt you once.
One voice at a time.
Why would you just dismiss it and say we're trying to buy time? We
have Senator Francis Black in the European Parliament next week, who will be speaking to MEPs, to local authority councillors, and encouraging them to do similar in their own countries, because the EU is an absolute disgrace when it comes to the situation in Palestine, and countries have to act unilaterally because history will judge you very, very harshly if you don't.
Duncan Smith.
It does seem what we're going to get is a diluted version of the Occupied Territories Bill, flagged again by Minister for State Collins just now, which would be massively disappointing. But at this stage, we want to...
Is a first step better than nothing?
But it's still not good enough.
It has to stand up to legal challenge.
Sorry, Collins, I will come back to you for a response, but we do need to let other panellists in. I will let you respond.
But I do want to see this bill with the committee set up now, and this can't be a case of counting down the clock to just before summer recess and heads of bill are published. We have to wait for the autumn and then the budget comes up and it gets pushed down and pushed down. That's my sense. I saw it in the last Dáil with other bills. But just two points. I think it's interesting what Issa said there, because one of the criticisms that those of us who support the Occupied Territories Bill can get here is that this bill is unimportant to the people of Palestine. Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, that's incorrect here in terms of what we've just heard directly from Issa in terms of wanting us to pass it. And it is an act of real solidarity, concrete actions, he said, and he's on the ground in Hebron. But another thing he said there was just in terms of the oppressive nature of what's happening there and the censorship and trying to stop the story getting out. I mean, we are seeing this in Ireland. I mean, there's a festival at the end of this month, the Robert Tressel Festival in Liberty Hall, where Omar Bugatti, mm-hmm. who's one of the founders of the boycott, divest and sanction movement, is being denied free movement of travel to come to speak at this civil society event, this trade union event, by the state of Israel. Again, in the overall scheme of things, not major, but it forms another stitch in the tapestry of oppression that Israel is putting.
And I've also been denied access and deported
from Israel for trying
to go and do my job as the chair of the committee to witness what's on the ground. Because I was in Hebron in 2015. I saw 3 and 4 year old children trying to get to school with guns pointed into their face and their bags searched. And the situation has gotten worse since 2015. scene. So Israel does not want the truth to get out.
I just want to come back to Niall Collins. You reject the assertion, Niall Collins, that there's an element of slow walking on this. But what, you know, if that's not the case, what about the other things that have been brought up by the opposition? The sale of Israeli bonds facilitated by the central bank. Other people have suggested that the generation of revenue on the illegal settlements on the West Bank should be targeted by the Garda Economic National Economic Crime Bureau, because, you know, some of the companies involved would be headquartered here. What about action on those fronts if the government is really urgent about doing something?
Well, there's a couple of points. First of all, there's regrettably a tactic within Dáil Éireann, which comes from the opposition, to try and drive a wedge between the Irish people and the government in terms of our approach to dealing with the seriousness and the fallout of the issues across the Middle East. And I think that's really, really regrettable. And it's to try and construct this us and them, and the government isn't doing enough and the government doesn't want to do stuff here. The language is watering down, slow walking, delaying. Why would we want to do any of that? We want to get it right. Unfortunately,
I suppose the
Duncan,
contrary question would be, why did you promise it going into the general election if you knew it was going to be a slow process and you may not be able to deliver it?
Sorry, legislation in the real world and in government, and unfortunately Duncan and Lynn don't have to concern themselves with this, legislation which a government produces and enacts has to be robust. It has to be able to stand up to the test, to the challenges that are going to be presented to it. That is the reality. And unfortunately, as I said, my two colleagues here don't have to concern themselves with that. And it then descends into this little kind of a competition. We're more pro-Palestine than, you know, Duncan Smith and Lynn Boylan are more pro-Palestine
than
Niall
Collins.
That's
not true, Minister.
That's
we're
not
just
the case.
Frustrated at
that's
the fact
the
that there's, you know,
sorry,
there are 20,000
children
dying.
Hang on a second. One voice at a time. Niall Collins, do you know when the Occupied Territories Bill will be passed by this government?
As soon as possible. It's in the programme for government. Okay. You heard the Taoiseach this week speak in relation to it. The legislation is being worked on. It's been drafted within his department.
All right.
And I want to see it come forward. Look,
I do want to give the other panellists a brief opportunity for a further contribution on this. Lynn Boylan, if the quickest way to get any form of Occupied Territories Bill through the Dáil and to stand up to legal challenges, one dealing only with goods produced in illegal settlements, is it worth working with the government to do that?
Look, we'll work with the government with whatever they bring forward. I mean, but Piers Doherty is also bringing forward a bill around the war bonds, because that's something that, again, the government could do, concrete action. So, we will work with them. I think it's really shameful of the minister to try and challenge the opposition for holding the government to account.
No, I'm not. I'm just pointing out your
hypocrisy.
And
that is exactly what you're trying to do, Minister.
I'm pointing out your hypocrisy. The opposition
were prepared to facilitate private members' time to get this bill passed before the election, and the government refused to do it.
All right, very briefly, Duncan Smith.
I refute the assertion that there's some kind of purity contest going on in terms of Palestine. It's too important an issue for any of that.
Correct.
The Occupied Territories Bill is 7 years old. This is its third Oireachtas. The urgency that the government put around this happened in November because there was a general election. That urgency has not carried through to 2024.
No, circumstances changed with the ICJ, Duncan. You know that.
We've got to take a break. We're back in a minute.
Saturday with Conor Mungon on RTE Radio 1.